Let's see. Okay, we've got time. All right, I will read the first six verses, and then I'm going to comment on some things in this chapter. He says in verse 1, "Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the hope of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing. A wise man's heart discerneth." Here's what I want to talk about tonight. Discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just ask, dear Lord, that you help us with these things tonight. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that your word would just get in our hearts, dear Lord, and do something to be, Lord, just something we can get a little closer to you tonight. Lord, give us some discernment tonight and understanding as we go throughout our day, Lord. We know you know all things, Lord. You know what's going to happen before we ever even are able to think about what we need to think about, Lord. And I just pray that you would just help us with these things tonight. We give you praise, honor, and glory for it, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you'll notice in verse 5, he talks about there, about middle ways down, "And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." I want to talk to you some things about some things in this chapter here. It's talking about discernment. And discernment is being able to tell good and bad. What's good from what's bad. What's right from what's wrong. Things like that. What's happening today is you're living in a time where up is down, down is up, left is right, right is left. Black's white, white's black, girls are boys, boys are girls, women are men are women. It's everything's mixing up. Now, you know what the world wants to do? The world don't want black and white. Now, see, move my clock here. You know what that Bible is? That's black print on white paper. You know what the Lord says? The Lord says it's either heaven or hell. It's good or bad. It's black or white. It's right or it's wrong. The world don't like that.
That's right.
You know what the world wants to do? The world wants to merge it into gray where the black sheep don't feel so bad. You know, they don't want to be white sheep or black sheep. They say, well, you're judging us. You better believe it. You better believe it. Well, the Bible says, they'll say, over in Matthew it says, you know, judge not lest you be judged. Oh, don't give me that junk. You're really not reading your Bible. He's talking about, the chapter's talking about hypocritical judgment. He told those hypocrites, he said, look, you're judging folks. Some of these folks got a little speck in their eye and you got a great big old beam in your eye.
That's right.
He said, don't judge like that. That's hypocrite. If you're doing one thing and you're saying that fellow, look what the fellow over there doing. And you're doing the same thing. You better not judge that guy. You're doing the same thing. But you know what? You better have some judgment. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? He that is spiritual, you can underline your Bible, judgeth all things. Yeah. That's what the Bible said.
Yeah.
So if you judge something, you're being spiritual, the Bible says. Why? Because, look, judgment, you're making judgment on a thing. You're able to say, all right, that light right there is green, I better go. Or that light is red, I better stop. It's yellow, speed up. No. That's what we try to do, though. We do. It's yellow, whoa, we got to go. Especially if you work at the post office. You're in a hurry, ain't that right? You're in a hurry. Oh, me. But y'all, the thing is, the world don't want you to notice any difference.
That's right.
And y'all, that's dangerous. You know what they say? Discrimination. That's the buzzword today. Well, you discriminate. You better discriminate. You know what? You get your Webster Dictionary out, and you know what the word discriminate means? To tell a difference between. Now, I don't want somebody who don't discriminate out on the road. Why? They're going to say, oh, the green light's the same as red light. And just go, you know, right through a red light. You can't do that. They're taking words. They're not even looking things up. And they're just throwing stuff out there. What I'm saying is, y'all, there's differences in this world. And if you don't have enough sense to tell a difference, you're going to be dangerous out there in the world. Why? The Bible gives you enough sense to tell there's a difference in things. And there's some things you need to stay away from. And some things you need to think about. This thing right here in this chapter gives you discernment. Now, when you got discernment, there's going to be some things you will be able to detect, first of all. Discernment will give you some things you can detect. Number one, the words of God. Verse 4 says, where the word of a king is, there's power. Now, you know what folks say? You just believe that old King James Bible. I love that. I like it. You know what? I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm just dumb enough to believe it. You know what gets me? They don't study. People do not study.
That's correct.
Now look here. If you're going to get absolute time and absolute temperature measurement, absolute location, guess where it comes from?
That's right.
England. God waited until a man named Jacob. And Jacob, or James. James is the same word as Jacob. He's all these people talk about. They know all this stuff about names. Well, and he showeth his word unto Jacob. The Bible says in Psalms. He waited till a king got on the throne with a Jewish name. And they called him Prince James. Why? Prince Israel. Jacob. Israel. Prince. It's all connected. Why? Because look, where the word of a king is, there is power. If you don't have a Bible that's translated under a king, you don't have any power. Why? Because God's way of governing is through an absolute monarch. Now that's not what we want. Neither. Why? We want one person to be over here and say, well, I'm going to vote on this over here and I'm going to vote on this over here. You know what God said? God wants somebody who what He says goes.
That's right.
Now look, I know there's been bad kings get on the throne before. But you know what? God's will is for a good king to get on the throne and what He says goes and good things come to pass. That's what He wants. Why? You know what? You think there's been absolute monarchs before? You wait till King Jesus gets on the throne, a literal, physical, earthly, visible throne. He's going to get there and what He says is going to go. And you're going to see Him. Now look here. Where the word of a king is, there's power. Now if you read the book of Luke, and people wonder why. You know, they say, well, you got any Bible for what you believe? Now think about this. They said Jesus spoke with power and authority. Now what's authority? That's authorized. What He said was authorized. What He said, and the Bible said He spoke with power. That's what they said. With the word of a king, He's King Jesus. You know, if he had a Bible, it would be the authorized King's word. That's right there out of the Bible. Now people say, where was the word of God before 1611? I've heard them say, they try to get you, you know. Well, you know what? Matthew 4:4 said, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Was the Bible completed whenever he made that statement? No, it was not. It wasn't completed yet. Guess what? At the time he made that statement, they had every word they needed. It was available. You know what you tell somebody if they ask you that? Where was your face before you washed? It was there. It just wasn't as clean, was it? The Bible said the Word of God is purified. You know what God did? God knew in these last times, we're in the last, but the past 400 or 500 years, it's just getting worse and worse. And He got that sword as sharp as it could be for these last times until He comes back. There it is. Why? You know what the Antichrist is going to speak? The Bible said He has a mouth of a lion, like a lion. Now I know He's got a mouth like a devil, but guess what? What's the lion? That's English. That's England. You know what the closest thing you have to a one world language is English, as far as a universal language is English. That's your Bible right there. That's the pure, preserved Word of God you've got in your hand right there. Where the Word of a king is, there's power. Now you know why there's not much power in pulpits nowadays, and you don't see very much power going on? Because there's so many different words going out there, and so many different interpretations going out there, they can't distinguish the word. Now you know what? The devil knows how to win a battle. Divide and conquer.
That's right.
You know what he's done? He's got so many churches nowadays. This one over here says, now what's yours say? What's the NIV say on that? I don't know. Let me look. Now what's the Holman say on that? And what's the so-and-so say on that? And before long you got confusion. Mm-hmm. Confusion. Who's the author of confusion? The devil.
Right.
They can't discern. You know why? No final authority. You know, we got a final authority. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Now, discernment will give you the words of God. Now, I want to show you something. Verse 1 says, who is the wise man and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? You know what Genesis 40 says? Interpretations belong to God, not man. Not man. You know what man's done? Man has got to the point where he thinks he can get the interpretation without God. You know what they'll do? They'll go to a lexicon. You know what they do? They get conned by these lexicons. And there's about 10 different, they'll look up this word, and there's about 10 different ways to translate that word. And you know what a man does? A man stands up there and says, I'm sorry, this is an unfortunate rendering. And I'm going to give you the right interpretation. No, you're not going to do that. Why? Because God has already interpreted things for me. He had men do that thing. It's interpreted for you. So you know what God does? God gives you a cross reference. You know what? To get the interpretation of that Bible, I'm not a pope. You don't have to have me. You and God can get there, and you and God and the Holy Spirit can get together.
Amen.
Or you know what I mean by that? You know, the Holy Spirit can get together right there. He's God. And you can get a He'll give you a cross reference to give you light on the passage. Why? The Bible has a built-in commentary. The Old Testament comments on the New, and the New Testament comments on the Old. You know what? I use a Webster's Dictionary if I use one, because Noah Webster in 1828, he gives Bible definitions. But aside from that, I use a cross-reference from the Bible. Why? To see what the Bible has to say about the Bible. Why? To give you discernment. God's got that thing built in where you don't have to have a man. We don't have to have a pope. Now, why do I say all that? If you don't get what God says on the text, you're not going to have right discernment. Now, when you come to a verse of Scripture and you're having trouble with something, find out other verses that are like verses on that right there and see what the Bible says about it. And you pray about it, and you might ask somebody else who may have had the same problem. Sometimes he can give you something. That's one thing I'm here to do. A preacher's supposed to be studying and give you the cross reference and give you what the Bible says about the Bible. Y'all, I tell you what, it tears me up nowadays to hear these men up here and make out like they've done this and they've done that and they won so many to the Lord. No, you didn't do none of it. If you did it, it didn't get done right anyway. God done it through you if it got done. You know what you're seeing? You're seeing the emphasis being taken off of God and put on man nowadays.
That's right.
Why? You're living in the day and age of man. You, ever since Nebuchadnezzar built an image to man, guess what? They've been worshiping man ever since. I'm ready for the Lord Jesus to come back and man get his proper place. You know why? I seen a church, a sign out the church one time. I think it was in Arkansas. I can't remember where I was. But anyway, it said, the church where everybody's somebody. That sounds so good to the flesh, don't it? But you know what? It should have said, the church where everybody's nobody. Why? The flesh don't want that. Why? Because if you make much of man, God is not being made much of. Y'all, we got to make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is, y'all see where I'm going with this? The discernment is lost because people aren't going to the Bible to get what the Bible says about the Bible. So you know what's happening? The flesh is creeping in. The Bible says no prophecy of any Scripture is of any private interpretation. It don't matter what anybody else said, it matter what God says about it. Now, if you got discernment, you're able to get discernment on the words of God, and that comes through seeing what God says about His own Word. Now, that's why on preachers, if a preacher does not go by the Word of God, you better scratch him off. Why?
That's right.
Because he'll lead you astray.
Yes, he will.
A lot of them, well, they may mean well, but it don't matter how many. Why? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what they'll do? They will lead you away. We got to point people to God's Word. As the people of God, we need to point them to Christ through the Scripture. Now, another thing discernment will do will give you discernment on the ways of God. Look at verse number 5. The words of God, the ways of God.
Right.
He said, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Now, you know what you'll find out? If you will keep God's Word and you will do what God says, you know what you won't have to worry about? You won't have to worry about chastisement from God and evil things coming from God. You'll just get them from the devil. Now look, I would rather the evil things come from the devil than I had come from God. Why? Because God, if it's coming from the devil, God can get you through it just like He did Job. But now, if it's coming from God, the devil can't rescue you from God. If you will fellowship God and you will keep what He says in His Word, you're staying on the path. And on the path, you may have storms, you may have rain and everything else, but as long as you're on the path, God says you're on the path, the devil can't get you on this path as far as him getting a hold of you. But now, let me tell you something. People say, well, I'm saved. All right, yes, you are saved, but guess what? The devil can take your testimony in a heartbeat. And let me tell you something else too. You get off the path, and let me tell you what will happen. I want to give you a verse. Jot this down in your margin. Proverbs 17:11. The Bible says, guard your heart. Why? Because out of the heart are the issues of life. Now listen to this verse. It says this, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let me tell you why that's dangerous right there. Now that is dangerous because you're going to find what you're looking for. Do you know that? Do you know that if I were to get out in Walmart parking lot, because I believe the Bible and I want to be right, I hope I won't be right with the Lord, I'd find another Bible believer in that parking lot out there some kind of way if he's out there. Because your heart will find what your heart's looking for. Now, if somebody on drugs got out there in that Walmart parking lot, you know what he'd find? He'd find himself another dope head. Right. A drunk would find another drunk. Why? Because your heart will find what the heart's looking for. That's why you got to come to that text with the right attitude.
That's right.
Why are people going to hell in Acts 2:38 whenever they could go to heaven in Acts 10:31? Because their heart ain't right. They wanting to find the mistake in the Bible. They're wanting to find the wrong text. They should have kept reading,
That's right.
They just stopped right there in that one chapter. What I'm saying is, a cruel messenger can be sent. Why? Because God knows what your heart wants. You know what? The worst thing that can happen to you is you get what you want. Because whenever you get what you want, you're not going to want what you get. Now this is the thing. Cruel messenger, how does that happen? You read over there in Kings, you got this king right here, Ahab, and they're wanting to go to war. And God's prophet knows that they don't need to go to war, but Ahab's got it in his heart that he wants to go to war, and all the angels and everything else, they come up before God, and God says this, who will persuade Ahab that he'll go down to Ramoth Gilead? And one of them says on this manner, and the other one says on that manner, and they say on this, and they say on that. And you know what? One of them says, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all their prophets. One lying spirit could get in the mouth of all their prophets. He said, go and you'll prosper. Why? Did God make it happen? Now look, He allowed it because that's what they wanted.
That's right.
Now you know what happens if you don't exercise discernment and you don't ask God to show you what's right and what's wrong. Let me tell you what happens. An evil messenger will come and you'll believe him.
That's right.
You'll believe a lie because that's what your heart wanted. That's why you've always got to check your heart, check your heart, check your heart. Why? Because your heart is deceitful above just a few things. No. All things. You know what all things is? All things means all. All means all. And that's all it means. You know what that is? That means the devil. Now hold on, the devil's the deceiver. How's your heart more deceitful? No. Why? Because let me tell you something, your heart's with you all the time. The devil's so busy, he may not spend personal time on you, but guess what? Your heart's with you all the time. And your heart will lead you to the devil because why? This old body, look, your soul is saved if you're saved, but your body's not saved. Your body is worried about self-propagation and self-gratification.
That's it.
And let me tell you something, it'll go towards the dark side if you don't keep it in check. And you know what you'll do? You'll believe a lie.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what discernment will do? Will give you knowledge and discernment on the ways of God. That's what we need. Church, we need to have discernment on what's right and what's wrong. Now, let me tell you this. When something is wrong and you know it, don't go there. Now you say, well, why is that? Because you'll sear your conscience. Now, another thing, if you got questions on it and you say, I just don't know, if it's doubtful, it's dirty.
That's right.
If you just doubt it, why? All right, now look, if I'm walking out in the dark, I have to put things down where I can think about it. If I'm walking out in the dark and I know there's some cliffs around here somewhere.
That's right.
And I say, there could be a cliff right over there, but I never mind, I'm just going to walk anyway and just see what happens. Now, what do you think you'll have? I'm going to fall off a cliff.
That's right, brother.
Now, look. If you think about that, apply that in your spiritual life. Now, look here. If you're doubting whether something's right or wrong, don't walk there until you get light on it.
There you go.
Shine the light of the Word of God on it. Whoa, there's a cliff over there. It's that simple. But you know what our trouble is? We don't want to wait on nothing. We're just going to go right. I'll just go and see what happens. Okay, then break your neck then.
Right.
That's what happened. You know, spiritually speaking, we break our necks all the time. Because we could have waited and shined the light. That's like man, in friendships and stuff like that. I tell you, I see y'all young folks up around the front, if somebody's leading you in the wrong way, leave them alone. I can tell you from personal experience, you know who hurt me along the way? It was my fault, but friends. You'll find out who your friends are when you go through thick and through thin. Let me tell you something. A real friend, when everybody else is going out, a real friend's coming in. A real friend will stick by you.
That's right.
But the other ones, anybody, boy or girl, it don't matter who they are, if they're going to lead you the wrong way, they're not your real friend.
Right.
You just say, well, he loves me, she loves me. If they're leading you to evil, they don't love you. Hey, they're working for the devil.
That's right.
I wish I'd have got that thing. I wish I'd have left them alone. You better find somebody who is wanting to better you.
Amen.
Why? Because you'll lose your discernment. And you know what happened before long? You'll buy a lie. You'll buy into it. You will. Oh, no, not me. Yes, you. You will.
That's right.
Another thing, the workings of God. Your discernment will not only help you with the words of God, the ways of God, the workings of God. Look at verse number 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. Now, every purpose. You know what? The Bible says God's got a purpose for everything. The Bible says that in Romans 8:28. Now, we know Romans 8:28 by heart, but you got to realize this. You got to realize something happened there, and God allowed it to happen. God's got a purpose for it.
Right.
We've got to have discernment to realize, look, Lord, I know you got a purpose for it. Now show me what you want me to learn out of this thing and let me move on.
There you go.
The workings of God. Now, you know what? I'm just going to read you a couple verses out of Ecclesiastes. Man don't know. Man don't know on his own. Solomon is writing the book of Ecclesiastes as a man. He keeps on saying about 23 times, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. He's showing you, under the sun, a man who's wiser than any other man as far as earthly wisdom goes. And he's showing you what life is like, looking at it under the sun without a view of eternity.
That's right.
And if you don't watch it, he's showing you, if you don't watch it, you'll take an earthly man's view and you won't have the ways of God. Why? Man don't know him on his own. No matter how smart and how wise you are, you can't know him. Verse 12. Let me just read Ecclesiastes 6:12. For who knoweth what is good for a man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. You better believe it. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? What? You know, God knows. But he's saying under the sun, if you look at it under the sun, nobody knows anyway. Without God, you don't know. It don't matter how big you got the wisdom of Solomon, you don't know.
That's right.
He also says over there in Ecclesiastes 3:22, the same thing. Just going to read you a couple things. He says, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Well, look, you and I know what's coming after. If you're lost, you go to hell. If you're saved, you go to heaven. We know that. But he's saying under the sun, man can't know. You can't know by looking at things just under the sun. Why? Without God's wisdom, you don't have any wisdom. You won't know the workings of God. I'll read you one more. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Hold on just a minute. The man who went to hell in Luke chapter number 16, he had some knowledge, didn't he? He said, go tell my brothers. This is a man riding under the sun. Under the sun, you won't know the workings of God unless you get in a relationship with God.
That's right.
You know what's wrong with so many Christians? They're saved, but they're not in a relationship. And guess what happens? They lose their discernment. It's about how is the church getting in such a bad shape as what it is now? You see some of this stuff going on, it's embarrassing. Just embarrassing, folks, of what people are allowing in these churches. But you know what's happening? They lost their discernment. Why? Oh, well, you know what? We had a big time over here. And look, I can have a good time in the Word of God, singing the songs of God with the saints of God.
Right,
now, if you get to where you're trying to make the thing completely about your own self, you're going to lose your discernment. And they don't know the ways of God. Now, the context that he's talking about this in this verse here, verse 7, is interpretation on the thing. And listen, Matthew 16:3, he said, look, you can discern the face of the sky. He's talking to those Sadducees and Pharisees, but you don't know the signs of the times. You don't know. He's saying you don't have discernment. Now, you know what kind of discernment me and you've got on this side of Calvary? And we got the Word of God. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read a couple things to you. Just in case y'all didn't get the verse. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to read a few verses to you. Chapter 6, verse number 2. Now watch this. Talking about discernment. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? In Ecclesiastes, He said, as far as time and judgment, he said he really didn't know, but God is telling you that one of these days, as far as judgment goes, he said, do you not know the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? He said, look, you've got to realize, folks, he's telling this Corinthian church, you're going to judge the world one of these days. You're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, get used to judging small things. Yeah, we've got to get to where the small things daily, we judge each little thing and say, is it right? Is it right? Is it wrong? Is that something that will please the Lord? We've got to get to where we question things. Why? Because if you don't, you lose your discernment. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, know ye not that we shall judge angels? Y'all, that's humbling. The angels that fail, you're going to stand there one of these days because you're going to be in a perfect body. You're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to judge angels. Y'all, that's humbling. Y'all, look, at the same time, it's exciting. You imagine right now, one angel of God killed 185,000 soldiers in one night. That's pretty serious right there. Now look, you imagine you're going to be in a body and that angel couldn't touch you. You're going to be in a body one of these days. That angel wouldn't dare mess with you. You think he was tough. He don't have anything evidently. You're going to judge him. You're going to be able to stand there and have perfect judgment. And you know what? In light of that, we ought to be able to judge some small matters. Why? Now, I don't have my perfect body yet, but I got the Holy Spirit. And he's perfect on the inside of me. And you know what? We got access to the mind of Christ. We got to remember those things. So, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. You know what he's saying? He said, look, if you won't let somebody judge something, let the ones who don't have the reputation judge the thing so the rest of you won't mess it up. You know what? You got some of these folks who think they're really something. You know what they do? They'll mess it up. Why? They're worried about what somebody else will think.
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all, we have got to have the mindset of somebody who has a low reputation so we don't let what other people think about us mess up our judgment.
That's right.
That's what he's saying. You'll know the workings of God. Now, there'll be some things you're able to detect. All right, some things you'll be able to reject. All right, man's words. All right, Ecclesiastes 8 verse 5 says, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel... I read the wrong verse. Verse number 7, I was excited about that. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? Now, man's words. There's a lot of things man don't know. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says men are liars. Men of high degree are liars. Psalm 62:9. If y'all want to write that down, I've got that verse underlined in my Bible. Men of high degree are liars. Some of these men got enough education to make a thermometer, but don't have enough common sense to read it. And you know what they do? They're so worried about their education. And you know what they do? They just lie all the time. And that's what you get. Why? Men of high degree. You know where some of the biggest lies are being told today? In these colleges that people have. We go up there and witness to those colleges. You know what they're doing? They're teaching evolution. I call it devolution. You know what they're saying? They're saying man's getting better and better and better. No, he's not. He's getting worse and worse and worse. That's what the Bible said. You know what? Man's teaching that they came from the beast. You know what? They're headed to the beast. That's what they said. Yeah, we came from animals. Yeah, that's why you want to teach that so you can act like animals. And that's what they're doing. It's like the old preacher said, you either get back to the Bible or you're going to get back to the jungle. And you know what? We're going back to the jungle as a nation. People are walking around half naked. And you know what? If you go to the tribes over there in other countries, you know what they're doing? They walk around half naked. And we think we're better over here than they are over there. You might have a cell phone in a car, but you're not no advanced anymore. Y'all, I'm telling you, people have lost their judgment, and they won't reject things. Reject man's word. You know what a man will do? All men are liars, the Bible says. Let God be true and every man a liar. I wish people would do that. You know what men will do? Men will lie to you. You know why? That's why you got to have your trust in God, and the Lord Jesus Christ has got to be your hero. Because you know what men are prone to do? Prone to wander, like the song says, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Well, our hearts are deceitful, and we gotta be able to reject man's words if they contradict God's words. Y'all, go by what God said. It's that simple. But we make it complex. You'll reject man's word, you'll reject man's ways. Look at verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. You know what it's saying? Every one of you, unless the Lord comes in the rapture, everybody in this room is headed for the grave. There's no discharge in that war. You're not gonna escape it. You're not gonna get past it. You're not gonna get by it. You go by and you see the cemetery, and you know what you're gonna find out? You're headed there. Now, is there somebody who had power over that? You better believe it. He said, no man. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus wasn't just a regular man. Let me read a verse to you. Matthew 27, verse 50. Watch this. It said, no man had power over the Spirit. Watch it. You better watch the Lord Jesus now. He'll throw you a curve. He'll throw you a curve. I got to stop just a minute. He's pretty good preaching ground. You imagine old Death. He's used to keeping every one of them. He's used to keeping them. He had a little trouble. He had a little trouble one time on Moses, you know. About Michael, the archangel, come down there to get the body, you know. And the devil comes up. The devil got the power over death. And the devil says, no, he's mine. You know what the law says. I'm over death and he's mine. And the angel said, Lord, rebuke you. Michael did. He said, I'm out of here. Got the body. Well, before long, you see Moses over on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. Matthew 17. Now, that kind of made him mad. But don't you know, man, the Lord, ain't it good? Now look, don't you know, here's the Lord here. And Dr. Death's in there in his office. You know, I just like to picture things, you know. And he's in there and he's got this register because everybody comes down there, you know. All right, here you go. Because see, before the cross, they had to go down. There was either a paradise compartment, Abraham's bosom, paradise, or the hell compartment. They come in, I imagine, just signing in right there. Okay, there you go. Okay, there you go over here. Okay, there you go. He's just checking them in, you know. Now you imagine, here comes the Lord Jesus Christ who conquers death, hell, and the grave. And a knock on the door, you know. Something loud. Death's sitting over in his chair and he's got his foot crossed, you know. Who is it? I am. And kicks the door in. Man takes the keys. Hey, that's the Lord. And buddy, I can tell you something. He said, I have the keys of death and hell. You know what he said in Matthew 27, verse 50? It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice on the cross, a loud voice, showing you he's still powerful. Most of those guys couldn't even breathe. He said, with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He yielded it up on his own. Let me tell you something. You never met another man like the Lord Jesus, and you never will. There's not another one like him. Look. No man has power over the Spirit. But I'm in Christ Jesus because I'm saved, and because He lives, I can face tomorrow. That's what we sing about. Why? Because I'm in Christ, I don't have power, but the Lord does. And guess what? Into thy hands I commit my spirit. I'll be like Stephen, buddy. I can see the Lord Jesus. They said, what is he talking about? Hit him with another stone. And Stephen says, go ahead and hit me, buddy. I'm about to go with the Lord. And you know what? There he is. That's what we'll be doing. Y'all, you got to realize you have got to be able to reject man's ways, because you know what? Man is headed to the grave.
That's right.
So you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to fix up these bodies and fix it all up and everything else. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe y'all take care of yourself best you can. But some of these people are—they just so focused on eating everything healthy. They wouldn't even eat a Snickers bar for nothing in this world. But you know what? The Bible says, "Cursed is the ground. Everything from the ground you're eating, all those organic vegetables are just as cursed as the other ones are." Now look here. If you're eating something from the ground, if it came from the ground, it's cursed. All of us are going to die, but you know what? Don't be like man. He's trying to fix himself up. This one man said he was going to transplant his consciousness onto a computer, just keep on living. What a miserable existence. What a fool. You know what the Lord said? Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. People like that right there, they can go just like that, and they wouldn't have time to download their conscience. What a crazy thing. That shows this world is losing its mind. You got to reject the way. Why? Because the only escape is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to reject man's ways of trying to fix this thing up. That's like this kingdom stuff that people talk about. They think they're going to fix the world up and fix the world up, and then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. No, you're not. You're not going to do that. The Bible teaches it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And guess what? He's going to snatch us out of here. And then there's going to be a time of great tribulation, and then we're coming back with Him on white horses. A man said, "What's that white horse mean in the Bible?" I said, "It means a white horse." That's all it means. I'm coming back on a white horse with the Lord. Now, I can't ride a horse too good now, but I will then. Man, don't get me started on white horses. I get excited. Now, not only man's words and man's ways, but man's works. It'll teach you. Discernment will teach you to reject man's works. Verse 9 says, "All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt." Bad rulers. Y'all, man's work, you got to realize you're in a time right now of bad rulers. But don't let that discourage you. You know what? There was a time there when the Bible says honor the king, and you know what? Nero was the king. You know what? You know what we got to do? We got to let God handle His business and us handle our business. Now, don't you know God can still get glory out of things that are going on if we'll do what His Word says?
That's right.
And y'all, we've got to remember that. Reject man's works. Now, I want to try to give you a couple other little things here. I might go over this another time, but some things it will affect. It'll affect your sight, verse 10. He says, "And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity." You know what you're going to find out? You're going to see wicked people buried, and they're going to be forgotten. You got to realize right now that it's going to affect your sight if you have discernment, because you know what you're seeing right now? You're seeing wicked men prosper. But you know what? The Hugh Hefners of the world, they may live a long time, but you know what? They die eventually.
Right.
And they have to reckon with God.
That's right.
You know what? You're going to have people treat you like dirt, and you know what you're going to have? You're going to see them live a little while. But you know what? You do not forget that they're going to have to reckon with God on that stuff. One day they will face God, and you know what that ought to do? That ought to help us with our sight. Well, right now we're seeing the time of wickedness. Now let me tell you something. You know what the Lord Jesus told Judas? Judas Iscariot comes up there and he says, "Friend." He called him friend, and he betrayed him with a kiss. Now if he's not a devil, I don't know what he is. There's people that will betray you with affection and make out like they really love you, and they don't. Now, you're going to see that. That's why. Because if you're like Christ, you're going to have those things happen to you. But you know what? The Lord Jesus said a statement that just blesses my heart. He says, "This is your hour." He just told him, "Jesus, you just got an hour." You know what them folks that do you like that? You know what? They just got a little time. You watch. You know what that Bible said? That Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Now you mark it down, those folks got a hard way to go. They may be able to camouflage it on the outside like they're doing well, and they may be able to put a smile on their face when they're around you, but let me tell you something. Their heart is hardened, and they're just like Pharaoh. They can't get any satisfaction. They're just like Saul. They can't get any satisfaction. And they're just like Judas. They can't get any satisfaction. Why? Because if they're satisfying the desires of the flesh, then you mark this down. The flesh, the Bible says, cannot be satisfied. So you know what they're going to do? They're addicted to their own pleasures. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to come empty, empty, empty. You mark it down. Now that's why it'll affect your sight, because you're living in a time now where they're camouflaged and they've got enough over here and enough over there, enough pleasure here, enough pleasure there. Why? Because when you see them, they want you to think that they're happy, but they're not. You got to realize that. Why? Because if you got discernment, you'll be able to see through that facade. And you'll be able to see that they really don't have truth. They don't have what you have. And you know what? It tears them up that you did right and they did wrong.
That's right.
Y'all, that's this world for you. And I'm telling you, if we don't keep that thing right, you know what will happen? The devil will say, "Oh, look how good they got." Now, you know, if you just compromise just a little bit and just go, don't do it. Don't you compromise. You stay doing what's right. Stay doing what's right. And let the Lord reward you.
That's right, brother.
And you know what? You're going to be tempted to do what's wrong. But y'all, in closing, I'll say this. The road, and I'll tell you this probably every Sunday, the road to happiness is the one where you're doing right. To true happiness. I'm not talking about this stuff that just is temporary. The right road will lead you to the right place. It's our business each day, Lord, keep me on the right path.
That's right.
Why? Because I want to lead up at the right place.
That's right.
Let's try to do that.